Welcome to More Grace, a podcast about theology, spiritual formation, and what that means for your life. We're brought to you by Grace Bible Church, a multi-site university family model church based out of College Station, Texas. I'm Amber Roberts, Creative Director at Grace Bible Church, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host and birthday boy, Matt Morton, who is the teaching pastor at our Creekside campus. Happy birthday, Matt.
Thank you, Amber. I appreciate it. Of course, it won't be my birthday by the time people hear this.
I think what's important, though, is that they're going to think, like, it's his birthday. I just really hope it's a great day for you.
Well, it has been so far.
Excellent.
Great breakfast with my wife, and now I'm looking forward to the rest of the day. I'm just glad to be here.
Just
glad to have a birthday.
Just another birthday. Yes, we always like to joke with Matt. You know, I'm like, Matt, you're 50. Can you believe it?
I am not yet 50, but I will admit I'm knocking on the door pretty quickly.
It's fun to add years to Matt's life. And fun fact, it's also my husband's birthday.
Yeah.
So, we're just, since we've been friends, y'all have always been able to celebrate together. So
right at the same time. I love
awesome. It. Daniel's not as old as you, but one day will be.
Yeah, he will be.
Okay. Hopefully. God willing. So we have been talking this season about growing in the Spirit, relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, what that means for our spiritual lives. And so, you know, we talk about on this podcast about theology and spiritual formation, what that means for your life. This truly is the epitome of all these things coming together.
Right.
So we're just continuing to talk about how does one in their life grow in these areas. We talked about fruits of the Spirit in our last episode. And today we're actually going to talk about the Word of God and what an important part reading the Word, knowing the Word is in our Christian life. So I'm just going to start, Matt, with a verse. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We, you know, you hear this in a lot of different translations. It actually says another one, all scripture is God-breathed.
God-breathed.
Mm-hmm. And I thought we could talk and just pause on that moment because we've talked several times already about how the Holy Spirit is the breath of God.
Right. So I love this verse because it tells us both where the scripture comes from and then what it does, what it does when it hits our lives and our hearts. And there's this word God-breathed. Some translations say inspired. That's not quite, it doesn't quite catch the force of what this Greek word was when Paul wrote 2 Timothy. It is, it's God-breathed, theopneustos. It's a word, actually, that it seems like Paul made up. It's not anywhere else in the Bible. We don't see it anywhere else in ancient Greek literature. But he took the word God and he put it together with the word breath and said the idea is that the scripture is breathed out by God. And really, I think what he's saying is it is God's Spirit who gives us the Word of God. Remember last time we talked about, and a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how the Spirit is often referred to as the breath of God, the pneuma, the wind or the air of God. Well, the scripture is the words that come from God's breath. So great thing about 2 Timothy 3 is it says, okay, God breathed it out. The Spirit gives us the word so that we can do what? We breathe it in. As we read it, as we absorb it into our lives, we breathe in what God has breathed out and it changes us. It teaches us how to think, teaches us what to believe, teaches us what to do. It transforms us into the image of Jesus. So again, this whole season is about how do we become people who walk by the Spirit, who know the Spirit of God and are changed by the Spirit. And I think it's clear 2 Timothy would tell us, if you want to be that kind of person, a Spirit-transformed person, a Spirit-filled person, you've got to engage with the Word of God. That's critical to this process.
That's really good. I want to also remind our listeners, in season one, we actually did two episodes on the Bible, why it's reliable, right. How we got the Bible. And so, you know, this is a different aspect. We're not rehashing that at all, but I would recommend go back and listen to those. I think it's episodes 6 and 7. We, our dear friend and former coworker, Blake Jennings, came and visited us with those episodes. So definitely something that will add to this discussion if you haven't listened yet to that. So let's talk a little bit more about what it looks like to spend time in the Word. What does a life look like of somebody who does read and meditate and process the Word? First thing that Scripture reveals is the sin in our hearts.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it has a way of cutting us open. The Scripture reveals what is inside of our heart, sometimes in ways that are uncomfortable, ways that we don't like. But the great thing is that it's like any surgeon, any doctor, they don't just hopefully cut you just to cut you. They're not just cutting you to hurt you. So sometimes we read the Scripture and it may rub up against parts of our lives where we know we need to change. So case in point, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit last time, and anybody who reads that list is bound to say, oh man, I mean, like we did last time, I'm not as patient as I ought to be. I don't love people like I ought to love people. And that feeling is not always a great feeling, but that's the conviction of the Spirit. It cuts us open, but it does so in order to heal us. So anybody who has ever had a surgery where you've had something removed, a tumor or something like that removed, you know that the idea is you're being cut open in order to remove something that is wrong so that you can be healthy again. That's the idea. That's what the Scripture does for us. Hebrews 4:12 is a great passage. It talks about this. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There isn't any other book that can hit us on that deep of a level, that gets all the way down to how we think, what we believe, what our attitudes are. And again, this goes back to this idea, remember, the Spirit changes us from the inside out. So part of what the Scripture does is it cuts all the way to the inside so we can be transformed.
That's great. I want to talk about, you actually have some interesting statistics, Matt, about how often do people read their Bible, just in our culture in general, you know, the typical American evangelical, you know, are we finding that a lot of people are in their Bible reading it daily, or how do most people approach this book?
Right. So, I mean, essentially the statistics demonstrate that people are not reading it as often as they think they should be reading it. And that probably isn't going to surprise anybody. This is going to be true of most of these spiritual disciplines that we're talking about at this season. But I ran across a survey from a few years ago. This was by the Barna Group. So one of the things they found, people really like the Bible. They think it's important. 79% of Americans say the Bible contains the words of God. 88% of Americans own a Bible, and on average, each of us owns 3 Bibles. Now, if you're a person that grew up in church, you probably have more than 3. You've probably got Bibles all over the house. I know that we do, and of course, I'm a pastor, but most people have more than one Bible. But only 37% of Americans read it even once a week, and only 15% read it every day. So most people have one, most people value it, but very few people read it. Only about 20% of Americans have read the whole Bible. Most people, when they're asked, how much of the Bible have you read, they say, well, I've read some stories, I've read some passages here and there, maybe you've read a book here and there. But most Americans, at least, they own them, but they don't read them. I think that's true. It's probably true to a lesser degree among those who regularly attend church. But I still would guess that there's a sizable percentage of those, even in our own church, who they know they should read the Bible, they value the Bible, but for whatever reason just can't seem to get into the discipline of doing it.
That's really good. I think, you know, it makes me think of, in our earlier episode, we talked about spiritual health and compared it to physical health. And how, you know, in the same way we start out a workout regimen to get to a fitness level, there's no current regimen that you can do for a small time or intermittently and then attain the physical fitness you're probably working toward.
Right.
This is a discipline. This is part of your spiritual workout.
Right.
Is approaching the Bible, reading the Bible, being in the Word of God. So really, I hope we've convinced you this is a worthwhile pursuit. I want to talk about different habits that we can incorporate into our daily lives, weekly lives, monthly lives. You know, what are some rhythms, routines that we can practice to build the habit of being daily in the Word of God? This starts with finding time.
Time, yeah. And so just like anything, any habit you want to build, almost everybody immediately has that reaction of, gosh, I don't have the time. I've got so many things going on. I've got a job. I've got kids. I have a spouse. You know, whatever it is, I've got school. I don't have the time. The story that I always tell that relates to this goes back to when I was in my 20s. I was working two jobs. I was working here at Grace as an intern. And then I also had a second job working at a print shop. So I would work in the print shop 5 days a week in the morning. Then I would come to the church in the afternoon and sometimes in the evening. And I was working on Sundays and I was working 6 or 7 days a week. And if you had asked me at that time, hey, do you have time to date? I'd have said, no, I don't have any time to date. I've got too much going on. But then I met Shannon, who is now my wife, and amazingly, all of a sudden, I had all kinds of time to go places with her, to spend time with her, to talk to her on the phone. I mean, I had hours of time that I would have told you just a couple of weeks before that I didn't have. And of course, the reason is because getting to know her was important to me. It mattered to me. People say that again, going back to the exercise deal, going back to any habit, reading. If somebody says, hey, I want to read books at the beginning of the year, if something matters to us, we find the time. The same is true when it comes to reading the scripture. We make time for those things that matter to us. I want to make a couple of points along those lines. First one is this. You don't need a whole lot of time. Certainly more time is better, but you don't have to suddenly go, okay, I've got to carve out an hour a day. What I have found with scripture reading is that you can pretty easily get through the whole Bible if you allot about 15 minutes a day to reading. For most of us, that's kind of an average reading level. You could get through the whole Bible in a year. That is, I think, very doable for most people. Almost everybody has 15 minutes somewhere where they can read. For me, there's a couple of times that I find that works right now in my life. One is very early in the morning, especially during the school year, but very early in the morning before my kids are awake, where I can slip away into a closet or the other room or whatever and read. The other for me, and this is what I think is great about the era in which we live now, is that a lot of times I listen to the Bible in my car while I am driving. So if I drop my kiddos off at school, and then I've got about a 15 to 20 minute drive from there to the church in the morning, I will pull up YouVersion and I will listen to the scripture while I drive. So I can hear it, I can absorb it in a way where I'm undistracted, actually. And I will say, listening, I sometimes learn things that I don't notice when I'm reading.
That's really good. Yeah, I definitely wanted to mention the YouVersion Bible app. I think everybody should put that on their phone. So I too have that app and I use it in several ways. The car is such a wasted opportunity for many people. Right. We are in our cars daily. And you know, you probably listen to our podcast right now in your car. You can pause it and switch to the Bible just for a little bit. Yeah. So every day I drive my kids to school and it just dawned on me at one point using this app, we started listening to a proverb every day on the way to school, you know, and there are 31 proverbs, 31 days in most months. So whatever day of the month it is, I'll put it on that proverb and we'll listen to it twice.
That's
it's
great.
Just, it's just this weird habit that we, and now, my kids expect it, you know, and Carson even knows like, oh, we listened to it once. Let's start it back over and listen to it. And so, and it's funny because I just think like at first I would try to have discussions. Oh, what'd you learn from that? And nothing. I mean, right. But I just think like, this is the word of God and it's going to sink in. And it's just daily wisdom. Like my kid is in sixth grade. Gosh, he needs that. So sure. They're just so foolish and dumb. And I just think, oh man, if these words can, I mean, let them just be sown into his heart and mind when he doesn't even realize it. And so now, yeah, like every day, or he'll be like, oh, I haven't heard this one yet, because some days we miss. And it's just an easy way.
And what you point out also is important to understand what you're saying about, sometimes I think we think, okay, I've got to do a Bible study right now. I've got to answer a lot of questions. And there's a place for that. And we're going to talk about that. But there is also just a lot of value in just reading it and absorbing it. Because what I've found, I've developed a habit over the last several years where I start in Genesis now and I go to Revelation, either listening or reading, and I just go over and over again in addition to any studying that I'm doing. But what I find is just hearing it and absorbing it over the course of time begins to change me. That when things come up in my life, my responses are now shaped by what I've been reading and absorbing in the scripture. You know, and the reality is for most of us, we've got phones that we probably look at way, way more than 15 minutes a day, if we're honest. So you're sitting in a waiting room at the doctor's office, you're sitting waiting for your car's oil to be changed, you're sitting around at the office or at home, and you're skimming through articles or whatever. There's no reason you couldn't use that time to read the scripture.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's another great function of this app we mentioned. There are many different plans that are actually built into the app. And so this year, I'm actually just going through the New Testament.
Right.
And every day I read one chapter, maybe two. It's not even in order. Like it's kind of, you know, the way it's, I think I've done Luke and then Paul's letters. And today I'm back at Matthew. It's so easy because it takes 10 minutes and it really does. It's just ensuring that I'm in the word every day. Like, and you're right. There's a time for study and there is a time where we need to sit with our Bibles for a longer period of time. But it doesn't have to be highly structured or really, really in-depth every day. I just need the word of God being input into my mind in some form every day.
Right. Absolutely.
Great. Let's talk about how is reading the Bible different? You know, the Bible is unlike any other book in the world. There are lots of books about the Bible, lots of books about Christianity even. What is unique about this book?
There's a lot. And obviously the biggest one is what we just talked about. It's the only book that it is given to us by God. Although human writers wrote it down, God inspired them as they wrote it down. That's what, you know, Peter tells us that in 2 Peter, that these men were moved along by the Spirit as they wrote God's words. So it is the only divine book in the world. But there are also aspects of the Bible that are different from almost every other book that we read today. And I think some of these aspects are what makes it difficult for people. So I always have this, you know, just kind of this ongoing thing that I talk about where I'm like, it's usually right around February where people hit Numbers or Leviticus and their grand plans for reading through the Bible come to a crashing halt. Like all of these Bible reading plans die in Leviticus. And I think the reason is there's a few things. One, we have to acknowledge the Bible was written a long time ago. Mm-hmm. It was written to cultures and societies that are very, very different from ours. So for the most part, the people in the Bible, they live in an agrarian society. They're farmers. And they're not living in the same type of culture we're living in. So we immediately will read it, and our lifestyle is very different. So there may be analogies and discussions that we have a hard time understanding. Their social structure was different. They lived in a more patriarchal society than we do. So fathers were in charge of the family in a way that they aren't today. And so there are things that we read that might even make us uncomfortable because we don't understand the culture. The language gap. The Bible was written in mostly Hebrew and Greek, a little bit of Aramaic, and so it's been translated into English. And as a result, sometimes, like any translation of any work in another language, things can get a little bit lost in translation. And so one of the great things in English is we've got so many translations that you can usually compare them and get a pretty good understanding of what the original said. But it does create a barrier. And then, of course, it deals with really complicated questions. I mean, there are things about God that are difficult. So, you know, anybody who has tried to teach your kids about God or about Jesus, you know that some of these questions from the Bible that you might sort of set aside as you're reading, you might be able to sort of ignore. It gets harder to ignore them when you have kids because kids come to it with a fresh set of eyes. And so, you know, I remember sitting at Taco Cabana many years ago, and my kids suddenly start asking me all these questions about, like, why did God make Satan? And like all of these things that I was just like, I just want to enjoy my taco. Just, you know, but that's what the Bible, those are the things the Bible deals with, issues of our sin, of the nature of God, of what God is doing in history, really big questions that require us to think a lot. So because of all that, even as we find the time, I think some people sort of fade away in their scripture reading pretty quickly because they get discouraged. Mm-hmm. They start and it gets hard, and so they stop.
Yeah. Or let's even talk about those who are afraid to start at all. Right. It's an intimidating book. And so those, you know, maybe for instance, I did not grow up in the Word of God. And I think the first time I actually like picked up a Bible, like, I'm just going to read what this says. I was probably in eighth grade. And yeah, Exodus, that's where I stopped. Let's talk about just how the process of coming to a better understanding, you know, practicing your time in the Word, that it's okay if somebody, you're sitting in church and they say, turn to Philippians, and you have no idea what Testament Philippians is even in, or how to pronounce these names. And is it Philemon or Philemon, or I don't know. And so,
yeah, everybody has to start somewhere with every skill. That's not just true of reading the Bible, but I think people quickly get ashamed because they feel that they are supposed to know this stuff. And they don't. And so they feel embarrassed. I remember leading a Bible study. This was almost 20 years ago. And as we were reading it, all of a sudden there was a member of the group, a young man, who for the first time he realized that John the Baptist was a different person from John the Apostle. He had never known that before. And he verbalized that in the group. And interestingly, unfortunately, at that moment, what happened was these were young guys. So a couple of the other guys started to laugh and give him a hard time about not knowing that. And, you know, we paused and I said, now hold on just a second. You guys are kind of making fun of him for not knowing this. But I said, let me ask you, how many of you guys learned something new today and were willing to acknowledge that you learned something new and were paying close enough attention to learn something new? It should be a cause of celebration if you walk into church not knowing where the book of Philippians is, and you walk out and you know where it is and basically what's in it. That's huge.
Yeah. And furthermore, it should be a cause for celebration if you see someone going to their index in church to find 100%. Out where the book of Philippians, that's what the index is for. So,
that's right. Yes.
So you can find out where these places are.
They put it there for a reason. 100%. And so to me, I the thing I always tell people is everybody starts somewhere, and practice makes progress. Practice doesn't make perfect, but practice makes progress. You have kids as I do, and you know, most of us whose kids are a certain age remember teaching them to read. Some of you are doing that right now. And for me, I'll be honest, I really was excited for my kids to read. I was excited for them to be able to read. I love that they can read. It's a critical skill. I did not love teaching them to read because they would send home those books, you know, Spot Chased the Dog or whatever it was. And they would read it, and it was just excruciatingly slow. You know, they had to sound out every single letter, and they would get tired and frustrated, and I would get tired, and it would take 30 minutes to read a book that was 10 pages long of large print. And everybody's crying by the end, you know? But you have to go through that stage in order to learn how to read. And we don't laugh at kids or make fun of them when they're in that stage. Hopefully, we don't even laugh at adults that are learning that for the first time. But instead, we say, this is a day-by-day process. The Bible is the same. You learn these skills day by day. And that's part of why we started with this idea of just making the time. Just begin and don't quit. Don't give up. When it gets challenging or confusing, yeah, use the index. It's okay to use a Bible that has some explanation notes at the bottom so you can kind of understand. The Net Bible is excellent in that regard, that it has some notes of explanation to help people understand what's going on. When I was growing up, I used a Ryrie Study Bible. It has some great information. It's okay when you're learning this discipline, it's okay to use those types of resources and just keep going. Don't quit when it gets hard, because what will happen is you can eventually, if you keep going, you'll stretch those muscles just a little bit. They'll get a little stronger, those reading and understanding muscles. So the second time you go through it, it's not as hard as the first time.
Yeah. And also feel free. Maybe you are in Leviticus and you're not feeling it. It's okay to leave that book and go to a different one.
That's right.
So, you know, the Bible does not need to be read from beginning to end. And that's another way that it's different from most books. You know, it's not even printed in chronological order. So it's okay to jump around and skip around. You're not missing out because you're not reading it like it is laid out.
Absolutely. And that's one thing I often encourage people if they say, where should I start? I'll say, actually, I think starting in the Gospel of John is a great place to start because you're going to learn about Jesus. It's an understandable book. It's filled with great stories, which I love and everybody loves. And you're going to be able to get to the end of it and you've got a good sense of who was Jesus, what did he do? And then you can move out from there, you know, read the other Gospels, read the rest of the New Testament. And then you go, okay, Galatians talks a lot about the law of Moses. What is that? So then maybe you want to go back and read Genesis through Deuteronomy and begin to understand that. And so you're right. Like, you don't have to read it chronologically. And one, I will say, one plan I've used in the past that was helpful, it was a 5-day-a-week reading plan that I just found online, and it had New Testament and Old Testament passages side by side throughout the course of the year, so that as I read a New Testament passage, first of all, you kind of had that win of, okay, I understand what this is saying. But then I would read the Old Testament passages and go, oh, now I see how these line up, how these fit. So yeah, you don't have to begin in Genesis and read to Revelation if you're not in a spot where you feel like you're ready to do that.
That's great. So once we've established this pattern of regular Bible reading, what are we hoping to get out of that, Matt?
Well, yeah, ultimately, I think that's a really important question, Amber, because all too often we tend to think we're just reading so that we can answer Bible questions. That's not why we're reading the Bible. It's not so we have Bible trivia or just so that we know it or just because we should. It's to change our hearts, to change our lives. That's what this whole season of the podcast is about.
It's not to impress the person sitting next to us in church because we can find Philippians.
That's right. Ultimately, if the Bible isn't changing you from the inside out through the Spirit's power, then it isn't, in the long run, it's not a worthwhile exercise. But that's why the Bible was written, was to transform our lives. That's what it's meant to do. And so that's what we're aiming at is, again, it's going to do a few things in your life. It's going to convict you of your sin. You're going to read and recognize, I am not fully living up to the standards of God in the Scripture, and I want to be. My mindsets are not the same as Christ. So it's going to convict you, and then it's going to show you how to change. It's going to show you step by step, how can I pray for transformation? How can I move toward transformation? What is the goal? And it actually, again, as we mentioned before, the Bible itself will change your heart and mind. It will do the work often in a way that is almost unconscious in your life. And so, yeah, the goal is that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I am a person who looks more like Jesus than I do today because I've been reading his word.
So we've talked about, hopefully we've established and we convince you, I need to read the word. There are different skills that we can apply to the Bible. You know, we've talked do I need to spend an hour in the Bible every time I sit down with it? Is it okay to just skim a couple? It's okay to listen in the car, but let's actually, I want to talk about how do I study the Bible?
Right. So yeah. So when we talk about Bible study, ultimately, again, we're studying the Bible so we can make sure we really understand what it means, so that we can understand how to apply it and to apply it properly rather than improperly.
That's good.
Because a lot of times if we just read a passage, so let's take one like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? If you just read that and you just take it at its face value, you go, okay, I'm going to win this year's football championship,
yeah,
right?
I'm going to open the store with my mind.
That's right. Yeah. I can do everything. Well, that's not what it's saying. And so part of studying is I learn, what is the context here? Well, Paul is talking about how can I be content with whatever God has given me and honor Jesus, whatever my station in life and circumstances are. And he said, I can do all things. I can do that because Jesus strengthens me. That's just a mini Bible study process we went through right there. So when we talk about Bible study, a lot of times people think, okay, that means like big commentaries written in Greek that I don't understand. That's not what Bible study is. What Bible study is I say, I want to understand it properly so I can apply it properly. Here's what I'd say. If you want to learn how to study better, a few resources that I can recommend. One is a book called Living by the Book. It's written by Howard Hendricks, who was a legendary prof at Dallas Seminary, where I got my Master of Theology degree. And he breaks down Bible study into three tasks. And these three tasks are also the ones you'll see in our Grace Bible studies: observation, interpretation, application. So observation is, what does it say? Interpretation is, what does it mean? And application is, how do I do it? Or how does it apply? How will it change my life? So each of these steps is designed to kind of help you understand the Bible better and then to be transformed by it. So that resource is good, Living by the Book. Our church, if you go to our resources page and just look at some of our Bible studies, the 2 Timothy Bible study is a great place to start if you've never done a basic Bible study.
Yeah, I just want to say, I think doing a Grace Bible Church inductive Bible study needs to be on everyone's Bible bucket list.
I agree.
Because and it's designed, you know, so you will actually get to take a book like 2 Timothy and learn these skills of observation, interpretation, application.
Absolutely.
If you haven't done one yet, you can download them for free on our website. I want to say another book that really I loved. It's called Women of the Word, and it was written by Jen Wilkin. And awesome. You know, all these processes are the same. I felt like this book actually it just put it in a different context and a different light. But I mean, the same skills are there. So Jen works at the Village in Dallas, and great book. So we actually, our women's Bible studies went through her book on inductive Bible study and how to do that and how to grow on that, just a different way to approach the Word and really study it.
That's awesome.
Very I like cool. that. Another way that we can approach the Word of God is through meditating on it and spending a lot of time just maybe on one particular passage, letting it soak into our hearts and minds.
Right. So most of us, when we hear the word meditation, we get a little bit nervous, because when I was a kid, meditation was something that only New Agey people did. It was like you'd sit in a lotus position and say Om, and you know, that was our idea of meditation. But meditation biblically is something very different. And you talked about it. You know, Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 says that the man who is blessed, he meditates on God's law day and night. What meditation really is I take a passage of scripture and I just sort of mentally chew on it. I think about it. I kind of internally recite it. I might even kind of internally pick it apart. So if it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, that's Psalm 1 also. I go, okay, what does that mean? I think about it. I might say it over and over again. And then I kind of ask myself, what does it mean to walk in the way of sin, or in the counsel of the wicked, or to stand in the way of sinners? And I think about the words. I really just sit and I ponder it for a while. And one of the advantages of doing that is you're almost doing some of this study process, but just inside your own heart and mind. I know for me, when I'm preparing sermons, I study in depth. I pull out the commentaries. I go through observation, interpretation, application. But then a lot of times I will just read the passage and then I'll read it again and then I'll kind of think about it. I might even walk around a little bit and chew on it just over and over again. And what that does, what I've found meditation does is, first of all, it actually helps me to memorize, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it also drives the passage deeper into my heart that I really am pondering it in a way that I might not if I just read it quickly.
That's great. And you're right. Meditation does kind of coincide with memorization.
Right.
And that's probably one of the tools that we need. We need to meditate in order to memorize. Memorizing scripture is so vital. Just taking that scripture, hiding it in our heart, having it in our minds. It will be useful to us in every situation. And so let's kind of talk about some ways and some tips and tricks. What do you think? How do you approach Bible memorization?
Well, I have always approached it in the old-fashioned way, which is I read it and I read it and I read it over and over and over again. And then I'll pause and I'll try to recite a phrase or a verse. And then I'll look at it and I'll read it out loud again and then try to recite it. And for each verse that I try to memorize, I will probably say it out loud at least 20 to 25 times. And what I find is after I've said it that many times, it does get into my head and I'm able to do it. And then there have been times in my life where I've memorized longer sections of scripture. At one point in seminary, for example, I memorized most of the book of Philippians. And it's just a progressive process. It's just a verse at a time. So you memorize the first verse and you really, really drill down and focus on that. And once you've really got it, then you add another verse and you get that one down. And then you put the two together and you say it all at once. Then you go from there to three to four. There's no magic to it. It really, truly is just the time that you have to spend in saying it. And I will say this, you know, you may go, okay, I don't have, again, an hour a day to sit and try to memorize. So what a lot of people do and what I've done in the past is I'll write the passage on an index card and stick it on the dash of my car or stick it on my mirror where I get ready in the morning or on my nightstand or something like that where I'm going to see it every day. And this is what's amazing, Amber. I find that even seeing it every day for days and days and days for a couple of months, even if I don't intentionally try to memorize it, I'm going to memorize it.
That's so good. Yeah. Another great use for time spent in the car. I actually did that in college. I would always put an index card on my steering wheel, just kind of right in the middle where the horn is. That way I'm not honking my horn at people. Gosh, you're just sitting at a red light and it's right in front of my face. Like, let me just look at this verse again and see if I know it yet. It also led to so much great conversation. People would see it on my steering wheel.
Yeah,
I just remember my mom really being struck, like, wow, what's going on with her? She's really kind of changing. And or strangers actually would like, hey, I noticed that on the steering wheel in your car. I mean, just when I'm outside, just getting into my car in the parking lot. So that was a neat, I should probably start doing that again. That was a really cool time. Another tool that I have found that I really enjoy, I don't know if you even know about this. It's called the Bible Memory App.
Okay.
And it's fun. Like, it's almost kind of like a little game. So like I can enter whatever verse I'm memorizing. Like I've got my 2021 verses. I'm up to 20.
Wow.
And every day, you know, it kind of cycles through the verses. It knows which ones I know well. And so it'll be like, oh, wow, you really nailed this verse. We're not going to review it again for like 3 weeks. And then it's like, oh, you're not getting this one yet. So we'll keep reviewing it every day. And so I just kind of type out the verse and it's been awesome. So it's actually really fun.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's better than playing, you know, Candy Crush. So I recommend that too. It's called the Bible Memory App. What's the point of memorizing the Bible? We probably all know someone who we're talking to them and they just start quoting a scripture. They recite it. It's amazing to see how someone knows scripture so well and can apply it to almost any conversation. Why do we want to be like that?
The things that we fill our minds with are going to affect what we think and believe and ultimately what we do. That's true whether you're watching the Avengers or whether you're reading the Bible, what you fill your mind with is going to impact you. I think that we underestimate how much that's true quite often. And so when we memorize the scripture, what I have found is it, first of all, allows me to think about those things of God that are true and that are right throughout the day. But it also, like you're saying, in certain situations, maybe if there's a conflict with a coworker or one of my kids or my spouse, or maybe there's a difficult decision I have to make, what I have found is when scripture is already in my mind, it helps inform my decisions. How should I make this decision as a person who is filled with the fruit of the Spirit? If I've got them memorized and I go, is the thing that's about to come out of my mouth consistent with the fruit of the Spirit? If I've got that memorized. And so what happens is I begin to actually make decisions based on God's word because it's written within my heart and mind. I think the other thing I would say is this. I have also found in moments when I'm called upon to share the gospel with somebody, I don't always have a Bible in my hand. And I have my phone, certainly, and I have my app, but it's going to take me a little bit of time to open it up, find where I want to be and be like, I know that verse is here somewhere. If I have passages in my mind already that will help people understand the gospel and I can say them to people, it's much more powerful if I can say it from the word of God than just from my own explanations. And so in those types of situations also, I found that I would encourage everybody, memorize 4 or 5 verses that talk about the gospel so that you can lead somebody to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And memorize, you know, the verses that we spoke about today. So 2 Timothy 3:16, Hebrews 4:12.
Yes.
Okay. Those are great, great places to start. Matt, I think that's enough of us today. I want everybody to go listen to their Bibles now.
I love it. So,
all right. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of More Grace. Grace Bible Church exists to help people find and follow Jesus. We work tirelessly to provide content and resources to serve the body of Christ. Check out our website, www.grace-bible.org, for more. God bless.